Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind us that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we consider issues and what we ought to do, especially as Christians, we need to go to the Word of God and seek out what God's Word says to us and make the determination. When we face the issues, we do not do so based on denominational dogma. We do not do so based on rites, rituals, rules, and regulations, based on some ideological position, but based on the authority of what the Scripture says in and of itself. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you and urge you to listen carefully today. We're going to be talking about a subject in question form: should Christians participate in Halloween? In fact, I could even go broader: should any human being participate in Halloween? And let me just simply say up front, the answer to that is a summarily answered statement. No, it is not appropriate to do so. But we want to get into the nuts and bolts of the whys and the wherefores as we speak today. And ladies and gentlemen, write this number down. Remember it if you're driving and can't write it down. 401-1413, 904-401-1413. You can call in and jump into the dialogue and discussion. That telephone number gets you straight through to the studio and right to our microphones so that we can have that dialogue together. We invite your call. I'd love to hear from you today, especially if you're mom or dad and you've got teens or preteens or small ones that you're planning on dressing out in the ghost and goblins outfit and stumble from door to door, fall into the path of automobiles, and put your children at risk. I want to talk with you. I want to ask you why. I want to ask you what are your fundamental reasons and rationale behind doing so. I want every mom and dad, everyone listening, every mom and dad to listen. I want you to hear me well today. Listen carefully, because on Wednesday, that's a couple of days hence, the 31st, your children will be at risk as at no other time of the year. And that time of the year is called Halloween. Some refer to it as trick-or-treat day. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is extremely risky for any child. And so, parents, I want you to listen carefully today. I'm going to take these moments to talk about why Christians should not participate in Halloween. In fact, any parent that's concerned about the safety, the security, the health, and the well-being of your child should pay close attention to today's broadcast. I don't know how I can introduce it any more emphatically than that, but let me ask a question. What should parents do with Halloween? Let me just give you several suggestions as to what parents are doing today. Should parents encourage your child to dress up in some kind of horror outfit? Should you allow your child to go from door to door, traipsing from door to door, as I call it, begging for candy? Should you just ignore the what I call the ill-fated, unholy day? Should you use this as a time to encourage your children to engage in the culture? There are a lot of parents that say, "Well, I just want my child to grow up engaging in the culture and being involved in the culture and participating with other kids on our block and our street and our subdivision." And so I think it's a good thing to do, some parents say. Should you, we're talking to parents now, should you have your children do something to allow your child or other children to participate with at a local church? There are a lot of churches today, ladies and gentlemen, that are appeasing families and appeasing children by having some kind of make-believe similitude of Halloween to appease the children and to so-called have them housed at the church rather than on the street. I don't know whether that's a better alternative or not. I don't know whether it's wise, because what it does not say to that child, Halloween is wrong, we should not participate, that as Christians we cannot participate. Biblically, we're mandated not to participate, and we'll get into some of those texts a little later in this broadcast. But I'm fearful that it's saying, sending the wrong signal to that child if you allow them to dress up in some unusual outfit and still celebrate it at the church or on the church grounds. Should Christians participate at all is the question that begs to be asked and answered. Here's an article written by Christian therapist, as they're called. And the title of the article is What to Do with Halloween. And this article says, in order to decide, I believe it helps to research the roots of Halloween to understand what the holiday is about. Pay attention to what you believe the Lord is telling you to do, and talk to each other as a family. Pray for wisdom, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, not the leading of people. Then help your children understand the position you take and why you take it. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any better statement that could be made any clearer with a full statement as that statement is made. We need to research the roots of Halloween. We need to understand what the holiday is that is called is all about. We need to pay attention to what the Lord is telling us to do. We need to talk with our family. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We need to then engage our children in understanding why we as moms and dads say no to the participation in Halloween. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, that telephone number is 401-1413. I encourage you to call. I encourage you to join in this dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you've got questions about Halloween. Perhaps you have horrible experiences with it that you need to share that will prevent other parents from allowing their children to be involved in it. Whatever the case may be, I invite you to call 401-1413. Join in this dialogue and discussion. We're talking about, should Christians participate in Halloween? Should Christians participate in Halloween? Let me say this, first of all, that Halloween has some very, very horrible horror stories relating to that celebration. For example, children are given candy laced with marijuana, razor blades, pins, talking about sticky pins, straight pins, safety pins, etc. Down through the years, there have been stories just about every Halloween celebration where a child has been rushed to the hospital because of something that they have eaten. Ladies and gentlemen, if your child wants candy, buy them a bag of candy. Don't put them out on the streets to go tromping from door to door, knocking on doors, and begging for candy. That's what I call it. It's wrong. I'm talking about now some of the horror stories, some of the reasons that I would suggest that you consider seriously before you put your child out on the streets to go door to door, knocking on doors of strangers. You don't know who's behind the door. You don't know who's in the home. And many parents just sit in the car and a block away and let the child get out and start traipsing up and down both sides of the street. And to come back, and the mindset is how many bushel baskets of candy can we get for free? But ladies and gentlemen, the cost is high. Children are given candy that's laced with marijuana and razor blades and pins. Secondly, children are abducted, mutilated, sexually abused while trick-or-treating. In fact, it is very, very clear. The statistical data tells us children are twice as likely to be killed by a car while walking on Halloween at night than any other time of the year. Did you know that? In fact, again, it goes back to the hospital. The emergency rooms are filled with accidents from Halloween trick-or-treaters stepping off the curb, stumbling, falling, tripping over the long hem of their goblin outfits, and falling in front of automobiles, crossing where the drivers cannot see them, and they are hit, maimed, harmed, damaged, or killed as a result of that. In fact, one of the most horrific dangers for children on Halloween is with the sexual offenders out there. Here's an article that absolutely causes me to rejoice in the understanding of some city officials that realize how dangerous it is. This article says, no tricks. Sex offenders rounded up for Halloween. A mayor in Georgia is receiving both praise and criticism for his decision to round up registered sex offenders on Halloween night to protect children who are trick-or-treating. Listen to this. Grovetown, Georgia, Mayor Gary Jones made the announcement on Facebook saying, quote, in order to ensure the safety of our children, all sex offenders on probation in the city of Grovetown in the Grovetown area will be housed in the council chambers on Halloween night from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. He indicated that there are some 25 to 30 offenders who will be watched by four officers from the Georgia Department of Community Supervision and one officer from Grovetown. He followed up on Facebook telling his constituents, friends, I'm not personally going to pick up, round up, call, or going to any of sex offenders' home. This is a joint effort with the Georgia Community Probation Services. They are the ones who, with the authority under the special condition to require that sex offenders report. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a small town. I'm familiar with the city. Growing by leaps and bounds because of the Fort Gordon Reservation that's not too far from that. In fact, it's made up mostly of military personnel in that whole area. But for this mayor, Gary Jones, to take that bold stand, it shows his concern based on historic precedents across the nation of what happens to kids knocking on strange doors and the pedophiles behind those doors that will pull them in and will harm or destroy their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about some of the horror stories about Halloween relating thereto. Children fall down the steps. They're on strange porches, on strange steps. They stumble off the porch onto the sidewalks, perhaps breaking a leg, an arm, or in some cases, major injury. Here's an article that says, the real horrors of Halloween. Children are more than twice as likely to be killed by a car while walking on Halloween night than any other time of the year, according to the safety group that's done the study. When children tend to stay out late at night, drunken drivers are likely to be on the roads. The nature of the holiday alone can make it perilous, as children wear loose-fitting costumes they can trip over. Candles glowing inside of pumpkins can cause fires, and sharp props, then sticks of plastic or swords, can easily injure eyes. Further, this article says, but of all the dangers, car accidents are among the most common, and one doctor says families do not think enough about this. Children are more than twice as likely to be killed by a car while walking on Halloween night than any other time of the year, according to the Organization of Safe Kids USA, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the dangers of Halloween. We're talking about the fact that Christian parents, in particular, and if you're a moral, ethical parent, if you're a parent that's concerned about your child or your grandchild, you fit into the category, you fit into the same group that you ought to be concerned enough that you will not allow your child to go out either alone or chaperoned and walk the streets and beg for candy on Halloween night. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very dangerous. Here's an article that says, are Halloween costumes sending the wrong message? Halloween is not only a favorite holiday, I don't like at all the creepy costumes associated with the darkness. But it's not just the creepy costumes that bother me, this writer says. Too many of the costumes, regardless of how you feel about Halloween, send the wrong message, especially to young girls. Listen to what this writer says. Have you looked at what is available in the stores? Many of the costumes sexualize girls. Short skirts, fishnet stockings, revealing body parts, a sharp contrast to the boys. Take the pirate costume, for example. Eye patches, baggy pants, top for guys. Same for the girls, except the girls' pirates wear short skirts. Maybe you're thinking, really? Now, you are harping on costumes, I am, this writer says. Here's why. I like to take every opportunity to point out what the cultural message is to young girls about their bodies. Take the movie Mean Girls, for example. The Mean Girls have a conversation. Halloween is the one night of the year, quote, you can be a slut and get away with it. Then they make fun of the girls who do not dress like sluts, end quote. Halloween is a huge merchandising holiday filled with naughty and sexual costumes just for fun, supposedly. There's nothing fun about sexualizing young girls and endangering boys and girls' lives on the streets at night, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about what I see happening in our culture today. We have a culture that is absolutely being demoralized and degraded more and more every year. And somehow there's a mindset, especially with parents, that this is a good opportunity to have fun, to allow our kids to go out on the streets and just wander around with baskets in their hands saying trick or treat, grabbing a handful of candy and running to the next house. Parents, are we teaching our children the wrong lesson when allowing them to be exposed to the so-called ghosts and goblins, as some call it? Literally teaching them that there are the walking dead or demonic activities that's taking place. And it's prevalent, ladies and gentlemen. It is a demonically inspired holiday. Has nothing to do with godliness, has nothing to do with God's wisdom, has nothing to do with biblical Christianity, has nothing to do with morals and ethics and values. In fact, the scripture is very, very clear to parents that in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an awesome responsibility for parents. And if you're listening, and if you participate in allowing your child to be out on the streets, you're saying, I am not going to train my child biblically. Here's an issue, ladies and gentlemen, that takes place. I'm going to read you an article that scares me to death. It's right down in Bartow, Florida. It says, two Satan-worshipping girls plan to kill middle school classmates and drink their blood, end quote. Dateline, Bartow, Florida. Police say two middle school girls who worship Satan armed themselves with knives in a foiled plot to violently kill classmates and drink their blood at school on Tuesday. The 6th and 7th grade girls attended Bartow Middle School, and at 1 p.m. Tuesday, the Bartow Police Resources Officer assigned the school to summons the principal's office in reference to an armed juvenile complaint. The investigators revealed the students armed themselves with knives and planned to attack fellow students during the school day. Quote, according to the Bartow Police Department, a student warned a teacher on Monday about one of the girls mentioning that something bad was about to happen in Building 500. The student said extra officers were sent Tuesday as a result of this warning after one girl's mother received a robocall alerting her that her child was not in the second period. She called the school and informed the teacher, and they found her. Bartow school staff immediately began to search the campus. They found the two girls in the bathroom. The girls were holding goblets, which was an administrator suspected would be used to drink alcohol, but they were going to use it to drink the girl's blood. Once in the principal's office, the girls were to empty their pockets, which revealed a pocket knife, a knife sharpener, and after that, their bags were searched and several weapons, including a pizza cutter, a butcher knife, were found in the girls' bags. The two admitted they were planning to kill students as they entered the bathroom. They noted that they wanted to kill at least 15 people that were waiting in the bathrooms to find smaller girls, smaller kids that they could overpower, and then they were going to, quote, drink their blood. This is inspired, ladies and gentlemen, from the videos and the movies that's being shown on television. I watched a clip last evening on television, just happened to roll the dial, and they were advertising some horror movie for Halloween, and it showed shooting, it showed ghosts and goblins, it showed the walking dead, it showed knives and them beheading and slicing throats, and that's what our teenagers are watching, and they call it a time of Halloween fun. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to the Bible and see what the scripture says. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when our parents expose our kids to that, the so-called ghosts and goblins, they're not recognizing that it's the merchants, the media, and the manufacturers that push Halloween. Why is that so? Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen, to a couple of two or three numbers. The millions of dollars that's made on costumes each year, that's one of the reasons. Secondly, 1/4 of all annual candy sales, all sales made in America on candy, 1/4 of the candy sales comes as a result of Halloween. In fact, Americans spend, according to the statistics on this, Americans will spend $5 billion a year on Halloween. God help us, as parents in particular, to understand what we ought to run from rather than running to. The media and the merchants and the manufacturers are not concerned about your child or your children. They just want your money. And parents, I want you to listen, especially if you're Christian parents. Please listen to what the Bible says in relationship to this horror called Halloween. This wicked, demonic holiday that claims our children and some lives. And God charges parents with the responsibility. As I said a moment ago, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand two or three questions. Number one, the question begs to be asked, what is Halloween? We must understand that Halloween in the Western culture is not referenced in the Bible. But, listen carefully, we must look at the origin and the meaning of Halloween and determine if participating in it is biblical or unbiblical. Let me just read you some excerpts from a little booklet that I published back in 1996. Titled, the little booklet is Boo or Bogus, A Biblical Response to the Celebration of Halloween. And I start out in this article saying, for parents to allow children to participate in Halloween is ominous, to say the least. The physical elements is not only dangerous, the participant to participate in the celebration of Halloween is to participate in a wicked event that has its origins in witchcraft and Satan worship. And here's where I'm going. Let me just read you a couple of paragraphs from this little booklet that I had the privilege of researching and publishing in 1996. Still in the marketplace. It's on our bookstore shelves. If you want to order some or buy them or come by. The portion here says the commencement review. Halloween is an ugly pagan festival of the ancient Druids, which honor shaman, that is the witch doctors, if you will, the Lord of the Dead. Shamans supposedly called together all the wicked souls who had died within the past 12 months and had been condemned to inhabit bodies of animals. This event was celebrated the last of October, the eve of the Celtic New Year. It was a time of falling leaves, a general season of decay, which seemed appropriate to celebrate death. This celebration honored the God of the dead and the wicked spirits of the dead. Hear me, listen closely. It was the Druids' belief that on this particular night, the souls of the dead returned to their former homes to be entertained by the living. If acceptable food and shelter were not provided, the evil spirits would cast demonic spells, cause terror and havoc, and torment the living. The food and the gifts provided the living with treats for the evil spirits. If treats were not given, the living would receive the tricks instead. Now here's where the link comes in from that, ladies and gentlemen. The Catholic Church wanted to accommodate the pagan influence. Therefore, Pope Gregory III established a festival to honor the dead on November 1st, AD 834. Pope Gregory IV made it the Church Catholic law. The night before All Saints' Day became known as Satan's Night, when evil spirits were released. Black cats, jack-o'-lanterns, bonfires, witches, all pagan occult practices and beliefs thereof. Therefore, no sincere Christian should have any part in the celebration or observance of Halloween. And as we look at it, the scripture is very, very clear. Let me read you several verses from the King James text in Deuteronomy 18:9 and following. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall be not found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or observer of times, or enchanters, or witches, or the charmers of the consultants with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancy. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because these abominations the Lord God thy God doth drive them out from before thee, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times, of diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God had suffered thee not to do so. You recall in the study of 2 Kings 21, Manasseh, the king of Israel, was guilty of witchcraft and evil, satanic, demonic celebrations. Therefore, God passed judgment upon all of Israel as a result of it, all of Jerusalem as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the demonic celebration, the demonic holiday called Halloween, as it is called. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that it is a time of demonic spirits. Listen to what one writer said when asked the question, what is Halloween and should Christians celebrate? This particular writer says the word Halloween literally means the evening before All Hallows Day or All Saints Day, celebrated on November the 1st. Halloween is also the shortened name of Halloween, All Hallows Eve and All Saints Eve. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard me say that is where the Catholic Church in 834 A.D. wanted to celebrate and use the Lord of the Dead's Day and wanted to have it be concisely aligned with the All Hallows Day. The origin of the meaning Halloween is derived from the ancient Celtic or Celtic harvest feast festival, but more recently we think Halloween is a night filled with candy, trick-or-treating, pumpkins, ghosts, and death. Here's this writer's particular statement. The Celtics Druids reversed it as the revered it as the biggest holiday of the year and emphasized that day and that time when the souls of the dead supposedly come and mingle with the living, bonfires, etc., etc., etc. It remained popular until St. Patrick's and other Christian missionaries arrived in the area. As the population began to convert to Christianity, the holiday began to lose its popularity. I don't know of any more pointed statement that I can make. When Christianity pervades a nation, when Christianity is pervasive in a home, when Christianity is pervasive in a community, Halloween will dissipate and will not be celebrated as we find it being celebrated today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the Christian's response ought to be that we recognize it's a satanic origin and say no. We ought to recognize that the Scripture says that we're to come out from among them and be ye separate, the Scripture says. We need to remember that God says that pagan customs are absolutely antithetical to being godly, according to Deuteronomy 18, verse 19 and following. As Christians, we ought to refuse to have anything to do with or to participate in or to promote satanic rituals or occult methods, according to Leviticus 19 and Isaiah chapter 8. We need to realize, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, the consequences of such practices of this that is against the law of God. We need to also rebuke those that are involved lovingly, kindly, but firmly let them know this is a satanic practice and they ought not to be involved in it. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and following, the Scripture says this: For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now you're in light. The Lord walk as children in the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is godliness and righteousness and truth, proving that what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That ought to be the Christian's position today. We ought to say lovingly to our friends and family and neighbors, no, 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 to a satanic, demonic holiday called Halloween. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that this has been a blessing, a challenge to you. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.